Hi, my name is Savannah, and I'm a senior at Pierce High School. I grew up in a Christian home and culture my whole life, so believing in Christ has always felt so normal that for a long time, I didn't realize it was a choice. I'd officially gave my life to Christ on April 29th of 2011, but this was only an affirmation of a decision that I'd already made. I recognized that I was broken, there was nothing I could do to redeem myself, and that my brokenness separated me from God, who loved me. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, he paid the price of my sin, which is death, and rose again to defeat both sin and death. I gave my life to Christ and found purpose in knowing that I could now be with God when I died and have a relationship with him while I lived. Before trusting in Christ, my struggle with pride was revealed in a desire to please people. I pridefully believed that I was responsible for other people's happiness and desired purpose and meaning through making others happy. I thought that by serving others, they would like me, and I'd find life as a result. But I have an amazing community at Watermark, and I realized that the God-shaped hole inside of me could never be filled with people. After I surrendered to Christ, my life was a lot different. Where I used to read the Bible out of habit or go to church to be with my friends, I now wanted to know God deeply, know everything about him, and see him in my life in every possible way. I knew that after I accepted Christ, I'd still sin. So I prepared for struggles with people-pleasing and pride because that's where I'd struggled in the past. In Ephesians 6:12, it says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil. The goal of the enemy is to shake our faith so that we will put our trust in things apart from Christ. I knew about spiritual battles, but sin is deceitful. I began to struggle with doubts and question my faith. And even though in Hebrews 3:13, we are reminded to encourage one another so that none of us may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, my heart began to harden, and I started to withdraw from others as I wrestled with my faith. This slow progression away from the people around me brought me to a place where I was questioning my beliefs in isolation instead of turning to my small group and family who continued to pursue me in love. I wasn't questioning if God was real, but I questioned if he was who he said he was. I was afraid that I was only a Christian because I'd been raised to be one, and I'd wondered if I'd grown up somewhere else, if that's what I would have chosen. I mostly wondered if I was having doubts about my faith, then did I really have one? By the end of the first semester of high school, I was struggling with a lot more than doubts about God. Because I was unsure of what I believed, I tried to make sense of everything by creating a comfortable philosophy of what I thought the world was like. I became infatuated with my sin because it made me feel better to pretend that it was pretty. The products of my pride and doubt were depression, self-harm, and suicidal thoughts. And I coped with these by romanticizing them and inaccurately believing that my struggles made me more unique than other people. I struggled with self-hate, but the root was still pride because I believed the lie that God couldn't redeem someone as broken as me. I wanted to live on my own terms, but I didn't think that I was worth living for. And I made myself the creator instead of the creation. I couldn't find life there because I was more confused about myself than I would ever be about God. After years of causing pain in my own life and the lives of people I loved, I was tired of struggling. I saw my parents in small group pursuing me and pointing me back to Christ and began to realize that I was playing the victim to my sin. Instead of struggling with depression, I was wallowing in it. Instead of taking up my cross, I nailed myself to it when someone had already been there before me. It is not only a lie, but it's an insult to the power of God's love to believe that he can't reach me where I'm at. At Watermark, I've heard that if you aren't putting your faith in Jesus, then you will put your faith in something else. What was I putting my faith in? I realized that as much as I had doubted and tried to make it about me, Christ was the most rational thing I could put my faith in. Someone said to me, you can walk with Jesus with some certainty, or you can walk towards something else with none. What was I walking towards? I looked ahead and saw the first lines in Ecclesiastes 1 through 11, where Solomon exclaims, everything is meaningless. All of the selfish passions I pursued outside of God fell to dust when I looked at where I was headed. I realized that I can have a faith and doubt. Even those closest to Jesus doubted him. Like Timothy and Peter. Jacob wrestled with God in the Old Testament, and David questions him throughout Psalms. But even with all of my questions, Christ is still more rational than anything else I could believe. For most of my life, I've known that I'm a broken sinner, and that only Christ's love can redeem me. And I loved him, but I couldn't have a deeper relationship with him. With him until I realized that if I'm going to pursue him, I'll have to struggle. I can be totally sure of something I don't know everything about. Today, I still struggle with doubt, not because it makes me unsure of my faith, but because I want to know God more. I'm surrounded by a beautiful group of girls in my small group who point me back to Christ and help me struggle with God, not against him. And they are one of the greatest proofs of God's hand in my life. In John 6, 67 through 68, there is a moment when Jesus says to his disciples, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I accepted Christ because I tried to look other places, and I found that he is the only one who can redeem my sin, and that's a beautiful kind of love that I'll never be able to find anywhere else. If you relate to my story or are struggling in ways similar to how I have, know that though it might feel like you are stuck in your sin or in that place, I would encourage you to bring your doubts and struggles to a godly community, to struggle with them rather than in isolation. My name's Savannah, and thank you for listening to my story of grace."